This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Looks like partly sunny and around 77 for the high tomorrow for the 20th annual WSOY Community Food Drive. Very happy and excited about that. A man who has been to, I believe, almost all of them, if not all, Paul Osborne, joins us in studios. First and foremost, let me thank you for the nice words that you wrote about my dad in your column today. That meant a lot to me and my family. Thank you for that.
Well, it's we're discussing before we went on the air here, and it's good to have you back, too. But, you know, losing your dad is, you know, it's an experience that, you know, you've never experienced before. And I've lost my father, who was a Caterpillar retiree. And I know how much he meant to me in so many ways. And you start thinking about all of those ways once they pass away. And you have special memories of him. Dad coming down, my first getting started, repairing old equipment. I think I'm sure you're reliving a lot of those too, but I met your dad at Caterpillar when I was mayor. I went out to speak to a group out there, and he walked me back to the group, and couldn't have been nicer. And I was very impressed with him. You had a great dad, you really had, and you know, I think we're fortunate when we have fathers that we look up to and respect and have special memories of. So my condolences to you and to your family. It's a you know, it's a time in your life that you stop and reflect on your own life and your own relationships and that, and especially that relationship with your dad. And I still do today. Bill, Dave Willauer, that you know,
oh, yeah.
He worked for my dad at Caterpillar, and there are times he will say, you know, I remember when your dad did this or something. And those are special to me when people remember my dad and say something. So, but I did want to mention that in the column because, you know, I sympathize with you and empathize with you that you only have one dad, and that dad is an inspiration to you. And a lot of what you are today, you know, was formed by your dad and experience of being with him and being his son. And I understand, and it is a loss, and yet it's a gain for what for having him for that many years.
Yep, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. Thank you very, very much. All right, tomorrow is the 20th, 20 years. You know, when you think about it, humble beginnings for sure. Last year, what was it, 2.3 million pounds of food? Well, actually, the cash equivalent of that. And you know, COVID, has made us rethink everything. Some negative, but also positives. One of the things that we really learned out of last year's food drive was we just didn't feel comfortable, you know, because we were sitting in a very similar place last year, you know, as far as the surge and it being in the community. You know, we had as many as 500 volunteers, you know, out there, and we just didn't feel comfortable. I mean, I don't want to put anybody in the hospital or cost anyone's life or their health over a fundraiser. So we went to all cash. And it turned out, you know, it's more efficient, it's more effective, it gives the pantries a better ability to buy what they need when they need it, and it turned out better, I think.
Yeah, I think it's really happened during the pandemic. I think because of having to make an adjustment for the right reason to protect people, it ends up at times, in this case here, I certainly agree with you, in a better place than what it was. Not that all the volunteers weren't appreciated.
Oh, listen, we love. Yeah. I miss that the most.
You did it to protect them.
Yeah.
But there's that. That's you kind of give up something on that because you know that was part of the enthusiasm of what happened to the food drive. And yet, in the way it's being handled now, out of necessity, it's much more efficient in that. You know, the purchase power is greater. You can define what foods and that the different organizations needed.
Yeah.
So the money can be better spent than it was before. So when I was reading the list, I thought, and we printed it in the paper today in my column, I thought, yeah, that just makes sense. You know, you have whatever you contribute now goes further and it's more effective because of the focus on what it's for.
Yeah. And then the partnership with the Central Illinois Food Bank, you know, you can purchase for as little as 19 cents a pound and you start adding that up. I mean, you know what a $5 donation means. It's staggering. We were invited to speak to Rotary. Kevin and I were a couple of weeks ago to the Noon Rotary Club at the Decatur Club. And when I was looking at the numbers, and Kroger had said something to us a couple of years ago about, you know, how many meals, you know, you've served to the community. And Paul, going into this 20th year, I believe with some basic math, and by the way, that's not my strong suit, that this community has provided somewhere in the neighborhood of 15 million meals.
Wow.
In the last 20 years.
That's staggering. That is. That's overwhelming when you think about it. And I guess that's why, too, I think this is just, you know, Decatur's greatest event in terms of just sheer helping people. And I look forward to, as you mentioned, I've been there, I think, about every year since it started. And there's just something about it. There's something about that morning, and, you know, on nice days when the sun's coming up and this is happening, there's an enthusiasm there. On the rainy days, you're toughing it out.
Yeah.
You've had a little bit of everything out there, I know.
Oh, we've had snow. Yeah. It's been a little bit of everything. But that's what makes it. I'm just happy, not for me, but for the volunteers when it's a nice day, because, you know, they have to be out in it a lot more than I do. The crazy thing to me is, and maybe it is just reflecting on a lot of things in life, is that those 12-year-old kids who came out, you know, that first year, they're in their 30s now.
Yeah. We're a little bit older, too.
Well, I know I'm older, but I just, it's weird for me to think about those young kids that, you know, first year, first 2 years. Mainly from the Catholic grade schools, who really sort of embrace this, you know, in a big way. You know, I think about Matt Bushell, you know, who was the kid who literally, it was his idea. I think he went to like Cub Foods and asked for like 1,000 plastic grocery bags, and they gave him to him. And he was doing some project as an eighth grader and for, you know, service. And he took them to Mass every Sunday, and he stood at the back of the church, and when everybody left, he handed them a bag, and he said, you know, bring it back next Sunday full of food. And he did this for like 4 weeks, and Kevin will be able to tell me, I don't remember which one, I don't know if it was St. Pat's or Holy Family or St. James at the time, but they had an altar, you know, full of food at the end of that month. And that was the idea that I mean, we immediately stole that idea from mm-hmm. him and sent the bags and delivered the bags to businesses. And, you know, but that was just, a young kid's idea.
Yeah. And I think that's what's that's the beauty of this, that people of all ages got involved right off the bat. And it attracted their imagination, too. It's just like, how can I help? You know, what will work? And so I think you have a lot of creative ideas coming out of those 20 years, and we're seeing it again this year and last year with the adjustment you had to make and making it even more efficient and more effective. But I don't know. This has really been a year, the last year and a half, I think. At least I can only speak for myself because of everything happening. You start taking a deeper look at everything that you're doing and what's happening in the community, and I think you're touched in a deeper way even. You do this for 20 years, you can't help but be touched in a deeper way and feel, now, this is what we should be doing. We should be helping people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. I've got – there's a, right on the front page of the Decatur Tribune today is an old – is this an actual photograph or just a rendering?
It's more of a rendering. Yeah.
Of the Hotel Orlando. What's the history of this place?
Well, I wasn't there for all the history, but I was there for a lot. That used to be the gathering place. I remember when I first had the newspaper, I'd go there and interview Paul Simon. All the meetings were held in the dance floor that was on, I think, the second or third floor.
I asked because this will be our new neighbor, you know, in a couple of weeks. I say that without any certainty at all. But it used to be
the
something
place
to behold, right?
Oh, yeah. You had movie stars, Clark Gable, and a lot of them from yesteryear would come there and stay there. And had a, you know, great dining room downstairs. The people that worked in what was then the Standard Office Building. There was a door between the Standard Office Building and the Hotel Orlando. You could walk right in there to the dining room, and a lot of people from the office building ate there. And I think about that every time I walk by where the door used to be, you know, on my way out. But you look at the Millikan Court Building and the Hotel Orlando back to back there, And that is the one impressive block in Decatur. When you see, you know, 5-6-story buildings there adjoining each other, taking up the whole block, spanning that whole block. And the Hotel Orlando was famous for years for being able to host so many events, flower shows, JC meetings, that kind of thing. And so there was a lot of activity. We had a prom there, one of our proms from high school. It was held at the Hotel Orlando.
So okay, now Orlando was the first name of Orlando Powers,
right.
Which the Powers family was, you know, prominent, right? His son built this in his name after the Opera House burned down.
Yeah, and back then, too, and you notice, I think I pointed out on the sign, it says fireproof or something like that on there. The building just burned down right or left, you know, back in the early days of Decatur. And so the Powers Opera House burned down, and I think they rebuilt it once and burned down again. So they decided to build the hotel, but they built it right this time. So here, over 100 years later, you know, that building hasn't burned down, and that building still looks really pretty good. If you look at it, you know, and you're driving by, it's still pretty impressive, pretty ornate. And of course, the building that the Millikan Court building next to it, it burned down, not the building now, but it burned down, I think, once or twice. So back in those early days, if you had a building that said fireproof on it, that was a selling point. You're going to stay in that hotel? Hey, it's fireproof.
Yeah, and then there was also a Motel Orlando.
Yeah, I remember that on the south side of town, kind of where the South Shores Shopping Plaza is now, where Kroger and that.
Yeah, that
section there. And, yeah, I remember that hotel. That it was pretty neat. That motel, that was when motels were becoming very popular.
People got into automobiles, started driving around the country.
They did, and I think that's an important point. People got more mobile, so they became motels instead of hotels, and probably spelled somewhat the end of hotels like the Hotel Orlando in downtown Decatur, because people were more mobile. And I think that's part of our history, that we've watched that evolve over the years. And then, of course, the Holiday Inn was built on the west side of Decatur and attracted a lot of the people out of the motels and back into more of a hotel setting.
That's pretty amazing stuff. There's a great article about it in today's Tribune, some great photos, and a great sense of history. We get back on the other side of the break. The latest example I saw in Capital Facts yesterday was Congresswoman Mary Miller's office in Vermilion County. You know, she's out, to her constituents, you know, saying that, but these vaccine mandates, you know, her and her husband have both flirted with this whole COVID thing. But yet the sign on her office door tells you a completely different story, right? Mm-hmm. And this hypocrisy out there by the politicians, because you write today in your city beat or talking about information hygiene, right? And how we have the ability to sort of like have two sets of facts when really there's a set of facts and there's everyone's opinion. And yet these politicians will say one thing to their constituency and then do the exact opposite behind the scenes.
Yeah.
I've never seen it more cynical than it is today.
No. Well, I think they get caught more today because of of all the media around all the time, like Nancy Pelosi getting her hair done after.
Well, yes, absolutely. But the idea that you would tell people something that would maybe put them in danger when you really don't even believe it.
Yeah.
Just for political points.
I don't think you can get much more deplorable than that.
I don't either. All right. We'll take a break. Back with more. Here's Nick Smith with your 3-day forecast. City Hall insider Paul Osborne. Stay tuned.
Today, we've got a chance of showers and thunderstorms and some early fog. Otherwise, mostly cloudy with a high of 76. And tonight, 50% chance of precipitation, maybe thunderstorms up until 1 a.m., mostly cloudy, and a low around 59. For Friday, mostly cloudy, then sunny with a high of 78, and Saturday, partly sunny with a high near 84. Current temperature in downtown Decatur, 63 degrees. Your WSOI time is 7:21.
If your life's passion is to help other people, working at the Gateway Foundation may be your next step.
If you're certified as an alcohol and drug counselor, Gateway has openings for you today. If you aren't yet certified, Gateway has on-the-job programs available to help you earn your way to getting that certificate. Gateway has been helping patients with substance use and mental health challenges for over 50 years, which means you'll be working alongside a team of experienced nurses, physicians, and other counselors who have a passion to help others. More now than ever, substance use is on the rise, not just in our community, but in our world. If you would like to join us, apply online at gatewayfoundation.org. Click the Careers tab to find other open positions as well. Apply online to join the team at Gateway Foundation in their mission to save lives. Gateway Foundation, addiction medicine saving lives.
What is health? It's living your best life every single day. And Memorial is here to help you on your health journey. Whether it's prevention, rehabilitation, or anything in between, Memorial connects you to the region's best care. And now, our name will reflect that. Introducing Memorial Health, the new name for all the places where you receive our care. From our 5 community hospitals to our dozens of care facilities, they're all united under one name and a new symbol. But Memorial Health is more than just a name change. We have also simplified the way you access our care, including a streamlined website, a straightforward approach to primary and urgent care, as well as a growing network of expertise and technology. Now, wherever you are, Memorial Health makes living your best life easier than ever. Welcome to the new symbol of health. See all the changes online at memorial.health.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Back here on a Thursday, City Hall insider Paul Osborne in the studios. I won't for a minute act like the hypocrisy isn't on both sides of the aisle when it comes to American politics. But with COVID, and you and I have talked about this, you know, for a year and a half, it has largely been on the Republican side where they will say one thing to their constituency and then do another thing behind the scenes. Mary Miller, who was the congresswoman who got into a lot of heat about the whole Hitler was right about one thing, and her husband had the whole the Oath Keepers. You know, he had the decals on the truck, and they were there that day of the insurrection. But you know, she's brings Marjorie Taylor Greene to town for fundraisers. She's against mask mandates. She's against schools doing anything. Yet her office in Vermilion County's administration building has a sign on the front door that says, "Thank you for stopping by our office due to COVID-19 increase and out of abundance of caution for our constituents, staff, and our families. Our offices are open by appointment only. Please call." Now, she doesn't want your kid. In fact, she wants to force your kid to sit next to another kid in school without a mask, but you can't go see your office.
No, can't go inside there because you might spread something.
How do you justify that to yourself?
You don't, and I think that's the frustrating part for me, that when I look at leadership, I don't care if it's the mayor or city council member or the governor or anyone else, I expect them to practice what they preach, as the old saying goes. You know, if you're against something, then you have the right to be against something or for something, but don't take an opposite position in your own life. Don't say, "Do as I say, don't do as I do." And I think that's the troubling part, and that's you mentioned the column I wrote, you know, about people trusting the information. It's getting to the point they're so confused about what person or what organization they trust to make decisions anymore, because everyone claims to have the facts. And I think one part of the criteria should be, what does the person do who's spouting these facts? You know, are they hypocritical about that? Are they doing it for political reasons? Or are they doing it because they have some fact-based information to share with you and they've come to that conclusion to protect you?
And then you wonder why they do what they do. Did you get that audio that I sent you from the Lindsey Graham?
Yeah.
Can you play that?
Oh, yeah, I'll pull it up for you.
Let me know when you have that. Because this is the reaction from mainly the Trump crowd that's still out there, the Republican candidates feel like they have to cater to stay in office or to run for office, when Lindsey Graham suggested that people should think about getting the vaccine because the vast majority of the people in his home state, and he was at home doing a fundraiser. This isn't his own fundraiser, by the way. This isn't some sort of like, think about getting a vaccine.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard anything so childish?
Nope. I mean, he didn't even tell him to. He said, think about it. Yeah.
Got it. We had to wait through an ad if you were talking to me. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Do we got it?
Yeah, we
all
got
right,
it.
Let's just play this. I mean, listen to this. And this is, you wonder why they do it. They ought to have the fortitude to not do it, even if this is the reaction. But this is why.
If you hadn't had the vaccine, you're going to think about getting it because if you're my age.
That was the entirety of it?
Yeah, they didn't have the full clip on
there. Okay, well, it gets worse because you get to hear people's comments. But this is at his own fundraiser.
Yeah, I don't understand. And
what I don't understand, too, is, Paul, the idea that the acting like you're 5 years old.
Yeah.
The boos. When was the last time you booed something?
I don't remember.
You ever go to like a public get-together about something and people just broke into boos? Yeah. I mean, not a sporting event.
It did a little interlude of like a and then it comes back to it. Do you want?
Yes.
Okay.
South Carolina unvaccinated.
Oh my gosh. Lies.
I don't know what that annoying music is, but that's anyway, my bad. I probably sent you the bad link. And the point is, it's like, okay, but real leadership, even if that is the reaction, or worse, you still do the right thing.
Yeah.
Mary Miller's not doing the right thing. She's doing the right thing for her staff. You know, she's not letting people just come into her office. But what she's out preaching on the trail and what she's out preaching to the constituents is the exact opposite of that.
Well, and that's the reason for a lack of trust. I mean, people are hearing politicians say one thing, and they're seeing them do something else. That's not consistent with the message they're sending.
No, leadership, it does the right thing, not the popular thing, not the thing that you live with booze. That's what leadership is about.
And if you can't get reelected by doing the honest thing,
then you don't belong there to begin with.
That's right.
Paul, I appreciate you. Thank you very much.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.